Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone. Tomorrow night, our band Pitbull Toddler will be out at LBC in Palm Harbor. Please come join us. I think we go on early, like 9.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Playing inside, so whether it's hot or cold or whatever. We like playing there. It's just fun. It's always a good group of people, a bunch of hot older broads. LBC, Palm Harbor, tomorrow night. Tonight, we got a dinner date.
Mm-hmm.
You drinking tonight?
Drinking now. Are you?
Oh, yeah. You get smashed. No, I'm just kidding. There's John Witherspoon. Look at you. Come on, sit right there, buddy. How are you? Good to see you again.
Good seeing you guys.
You look great. You're in great shape. How old of a man are you now?
76.
Oh, man, you're older than Elton John.
How old is he?
71. I found out this week.
I'm prettier than he is.
Yeah, much better. You're like you're in much better shape.
I'm prettier than he is.
You got better piano player, too.
I don't have as much money as you got, but.
How much money do you have?
I don't know.
Like, he's a good. Like, huh? you're like, when's the last time you had to go to a 9-to-5 job? In the 70s? Or have you ever?
74.
Yeah? What did you do?
I got a job at Gucci.
Oh, that's a good job.
And selling shoes. And yeah. I noticed that rich folks' feet smell just as bad as poor folks.
How did people treat a black gentleman working in a Gucci store?
Oh, that was 74. I had the best job in the world. I had to leave because I had to work and do my TV shows. I would go and try to become John Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Instead of being the shoe man.
What did your parents do? Because I was reading, you've been on the show a couple of times, and I always try to find something that we didn't talk to you about before, but I didn't know all your siblings are super successful.
Yeah, my oldest brother worked for Motown.
I was just playing. I love this song.
He used to write for Motown.
I'm playing the song, What Becomes a Broken Heart. That's a great song.
And my third oldest brother, Bryant, he worked for IBM. He was a manager in IBM.
What did your parents do?
My mother was just a housewife. She had 11 kids.
11?
Wow. 11.
Your mother was trying to make sure her uterus didn't fall out. She did all that.
She would come home with a baby. I said, who is that? That's your brother. I didn't even know you were pregnant I was a kid.
She was always pregnant when you were a
always
kid.
Always pregnant.
Yeah, 11 kids, huh?
11, yeah.
Was that hard? Or did you, like...
I didn't know anything about it.
Right, during the time.
Yeah, I'm a kid myself.
You know, when I was a poor kid, and I didn't realize I was poor until I went to college, and I was like, oh, man, I was poor.
I knew I was poor.
Oh, you did, yeah, yeah. So, you had a fight with 10 other kids for things.
Yeah. But you're used to not having anything.
Okay, so hold on. Let me read this. This is off of your Wikipedia page. Your brother, William, wrote the songs for Motown. Which that song was a huge hit.
Yeah.
You had a sibling named Cato, who was a director for PBS in Detroit for 4 decades. You have a sister, Dr. Gertrude Stacks.
Yeah, she's a preacher.
A preacher.
Yeah.
In a Pentecostal church in Detroit.
Yeah.
And then you, obviously, a movie and television star and comedian. And then, so what do you got, like six that really didn't do much? And the rest of you guys?
Let me think. Who else did we miss?
Are they all alive still?
Raymond was actually a director at Channel 50 in Detroit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was a director. Stage director. Yeah, stage.
The whole family was right on.
And my sons are one of my sons has a TV show on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
It's called Confetti. He's on every day.
I know what that is, yeah.
He's on every day. And my other son is a writer, music writer. My 22-year-old son, he writes music. He got a CD out now.
And I think that's the key, because your brother, who wrote What Becomes a Broken Heart, he probably still gets checks from that.
I don't know. They all died.
Oh, they're all dead?
Cato. Not Brian. Cato, my other brother. They died. I got about 4 brothers that died.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, that's when you get the writing publishing rights. You just keep cashing checks.
I think Barry Gordy took a lot of that stuff from those
really?
Guys. Yeah, he took a lot of that stuff from those guys. That's why he's 89 and looked like he's about 50. He took care of himself.
When did you realize that you were funny? When did you know?
I was in Detroit, and I was working. I wasn't working. I was living with my brother and his wife for about 5 months.
Right.
And I noticed they would go out every Thursday and to a theater. They were in a theater. They ran a theater group for the 5 months I was there. I was impressed with that. So I said, I like to act one day.
Yeah.
So I went and looked in the Yellow Pages and found acting classes, John Binkelman Acting School.
Uh-huh.
$25 a lesson, private lesson. So I called up the next day and went over there. So I worked there for about a year. I was there for about a year studying. And he would put on a comedy show once a year. He said, I want you to be in my comedy show. I said, I don't know anything about comedy.
Like a stand-up comedy or like a stage?
You can do what you want.
Yeah, okay.
Make it funny.
Yeah.
So he said, well, I want you to be a part of it. Think of something, I'll put you on the show. And so I said, so what I did was, I used to do impressions when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
So what I did, I had one of the guys who helped me in scenes. I said, I would have him, like he's a reporter, and I'm Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Right.
And I got me a $10 hat. And I would have him ask me some stupid questions. I'd give him stupid answers.
Was it good?
It was so funny.
Was your LBJ good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My fellow American. I used to do impressions.
Yeah.
So I did that, and it went over so well that he left the stage and took the chairs, and I had him put the lights down, and I started doing an impression of Johnny Mathis.
Oh, right.
Acapello.
Uh-huh.
Man, they went crazy.
Can you sing?
I used to.
Yeah.
But, man,
Johnny Mathis, that's a hard...
Oh, but I used to have him down.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God,
that's so
they
funny.
Went crazy.
Uh-huh.
I said, "Boy, this is I can make some money doing this."
And once you get that bike, once you make people laugh,
But I moved to New York. I used to be a fashion model.
I read that too.
You see that?
Yeah, but I didn't know if you went and then just put that in there one day.
No, I was a fashion model in Detroit. I made a lot of money in Detroit, but I said, if I can do this here, I'd go to New York and make all the money.
And what were you doing? Runway stuff? Or
no,
magazines?
I did print work.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of print work. But I went to New York, and everybody looked better than me. All the actors, all the models looked better than me. I'm looking at these dudes. I said, damn, I don't look like that.
I ain't killing
them. Detroit, that was cool, but go to New York. New York, they got all the tall, handsome guys. I said, oh, my God. So I went back home and got me a car and drove to California.
And that's where it started.
I went straight to the comedy
store. When you hook up with Richard Pryor?
At the comedy store.
Yeah.
About 74, I went to the comedy store 74. Missy put me on stage, open mic night.
Right.
And I was doing impressions and stuff. See, I was doing comedy then.
Right. But
and
you
she
also...
don't like, she want people, she loved people that did impressions. I noticed that she liked impressionists.
Okay.
So I went out there and did my Nat King Cole and Johnny Mathis. And, Johnny, I want you to work during the week.
Uh-huh. And who is in the comedy store at the time? Is you, Letterman?
Letterman came.
Was Letterman
Jeff
funny?
Altman, huh?
Was Letterman funny doing stand up, or was
he was he was a good host.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's more
he had funny
quality,
stuff.
Right.
Funny stuff that he would do, and they loved him.
Jeff Altman,
Tom Dreesen.
Oh, really?
Ron Dreesen came with Tim Reed.
I'm so glad he said that.
Yeah.
Because remember when Letterman had his heart surgery?
Yeah.
And he was out for a while?
Yeah.
And they had guest hosts. And Tom Dreesen was one of the guest hosts.
Yeah, he was one of the guest hosts.
I'd never heard of Tom Dreesen until he guest hosted. And which is odd because I love that old school Sinatra type.
Yeah, thing.
I had to go do research on him and find out who he was. But I thought, what an odd choice. He had Will Ferrell, who was at the top of his game at the time.
Yeah.
And then old ass Tom Dreesen, but that makes sense now. I didn't know
they
came up together. Yeah.
Old friends.
Okay, so and what about is Jimmy Walker there at the time?
Oh yeah, Jimmy Walker was there.
Right.
Tim Thomerson. You probably don't know.
No,
him.
I don't know. Him.
Oh my God! He must have done 150 cowboy stories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was an actor and did impressions also.
Right. Yeah. And what about Freddie Prinze?
He came a little later.
Yeah.
What a tragedy that was.
Right.
Nice fella too.
I don't know anything about Freddie Prinze other than Chico and the Man. I never got to see a stand up or anything like that. But
he was funny.
Chico and the Man was the Hispanic Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
It was just. Right, by the way, Sanford and Son still stands up as one of the best shows ever on television.
You mean Fred Sanford?
Fred Sanford.
Yeah.
Like
that was a funny show.
A marathon of it the other day, and I thought, oh my God, I don't remember. It was so funny. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was funny. Plus, he was a talented man.
And if you Like, if you only know Red Fox from Sanford and Son, you need to Google or Spotify some of his old stand-up comedy because he was hilarious.
No,
way ahead
was.
Of his time.
I remember I was working at Ballet. I used to open for Tom Jones.
Right.
So after my show, I would go over to look at Red Fox at the Sahara. And all the old ladies from Omaha come to see Fred Sanford.
Right.
Red Fox would come out there. That was the funniest thing.
Yeah, he
you
was
see
dirty.
Them getting out there, they were getting out there fast. Let's get out of here, Harry. Harriet, let's go.
Excuse
Unbelievable.
Me. This is John Witherspoon who is here. John Witherspoon is going to be at the Improv tonight, 8 and 10:30, and Saturday, 7:30 and 10, doing his comedy. Very funny. I was in over Thanksgiving break watching the, what's the Eddie Murphy movie with Robin Givens?
Boomerang.
Boomerang.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I laughed as hard at you with the coordinate as much as I did the first time I saw that movie when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
But even that, and I bet all the people always give you the whole Friday, don't go in there, you know.
Oh, they know but every line.
To me, though, the thing, the stuff that you do that makes me laugh is a really mundane movie with one of the best parts is you, and I still say this to my kids all the time. Oh, you want the crazy eye? I'll give you the crazy eye. From Little Nicky.
Sanford. What's the name?
Sandler. Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah. That whole exchange with him, oh, you want the crazy eye? I'll give you the crazy eye, is one of the funniest goddamn things to me ever.
Oh, you're going
to
go crazy on me, huh? You want to see some crazy eyes. Look at these eyes.
I have a 5-year-old daughter, and sometimes she's the sweetest kid, but sometimes I pick her up from school, and she's just in a bad mood. And I go, oh, you're going to go crazy. You're going to go crazy. I'll give you crazy, and I get right back to you. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. They wanted some crazy eyes, so they had all of us people come in there and do, there I am right there.
It's awesome.
Oh, man. They said he laughed so hard when he saw that.
Yeah, he said,
you got to get this guy here.
That's great.
That was the best job I had. I worked 12 days in an apartment, and I had a hotel in the Parker Meridian.
Oh, yeah, New York.
I worked the first day I got there, and I worked the last day I got there.
And that was it, 12 days, and you only had 2 days of work.
Per diem every day, food.
I am amazed by Galvin and I were, we had a buddy who had a TV show, and we were an extra on the show, and I am still to this day, of all the things that were there, of any celebrities, we saw Clint Eastwood there.
Yeah.
The only thing that made us happy was I couldn't believe the food.
Unbelievable.
Right. On a movie studio show.
Yeah. Some of them are so elaborate.
Yeah. It's great.
I was in Godfather. I was one of the chauffeurs, but I didn't get in the movie.
Oh, really?
And they had the, but I didn't care.
Yeah.
I had the best food. I had some of the best food. You can go over there and they cook you anything you want. Oh.
Yeah, that guy's just waiting for orders. He's bored.
Right.
What was, how long were you on the set for that, for Godfather?
We worked there 2 or 3 days.
Was that in Staten Island?
Guggenheim's house.
Oh, okay.
In Long Island.
Well, I was on Staten Island where they had, where was Vito Corleone's, the exterior of his house was there.
Yeah.
So, because I grew up there, and I remember when my dad tells me when we were a kid, we used to drive by while they were filming all the time. And then at the opposite end of it, Easy Money, which is a Rodney Dangerfield movie, was filmed at my church in Staten Island, and they didn't live at the Park Meridian. They rented Denise Iglio's house. She lived behind the church. They didn't quite have the budget that Adam Sandler had before.
No, they don't have the budget. Yeah. They had about a $85 million budget on
it. Oh, my God.
They lost about $35, $40 million on that.
Well, you know what, though? I don't know. I don't know. The allure of Adam Sandler these days, he stopped making good movies after a certain time, and yet he still is making tons of money for them.
He makes a lot of money on his movies. Yes, he does.
John Witherspoon is here with us. Tell me about, I did not know, you told us one time you went out to visit Letterman in Montana, and there was a moose on the road.
It was a bear.
Oh, a bear.
We in this little Jeep, convertible and everything.
Right.
Going around his property. He got about 5,000, 100,000 acres.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I said, Dave, there's a bear in front of us. Look at that. He said, ooh, isn't that exciting? I said, hell no. That time I saw a bear that closely, he was at a dress zone. and a pink dress and a circus.
A little umbrella. What now? How is your relationship with him now? Is he bored?
Oh,
do you talk to him?
I text him. He's
a texter. The two of you are texters.
I went to dinner. Tom Dreesen, who else was that? Tim Thomerson, and I, and Letterman, and his secretaries, and somebody from the show from Netflix or something.
Oh, okay.
He was out in L.A., and so we went to dinner, and said, Tom Dreesen do all the talking.
Oh, I bet.
He tell all the Frank Sinatra stories.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, I watched Letterman's Netflix show. I'd love to get my hands on him. I'd love to break him down and do an interview with him, because he's got... I need somebody to interview him.
Yeah.
So we can hear him talk legit for a little while.
Yeah.
Like, he's done some good Howard Stern interviews.
Oh, yeah.
But I love when he reveals some of the real Letterman. Yeah. Because he's always been such a quiet guy to the public.
Oh, he's always been quiet.
Yeah.
But like at the dinner, he would say something every 15 minutes.
Yeah. That's so funny. You think he's miserable when he's there, or you think he's enjoying
it? No, I think he's got comfortable with just being quiet.
He's the godfather of two of your kids?
No, actually, you know, when my kid was born, Dave gave him a bond for his education.
Right.
And that bond matured. I said, well, my God, we've sent him to school. Gave somebody put money in his pocket. I said, where the hell did you get that bond?
What did it start out as?
Huh?
What was the bond when it started?
$10,000.
That's good. That's what it should be. That's Letterman money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Back then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
now.
I got married 30 years ago and 31 years ago, and I didn't have any money. Mm. So I called Dave and said, man, I made a mistake and asked Angela to marry me. I need about $4,000.
Uh-huh.
He said, Spoon, okay, I'll get it to you. That money was under my door, I bet you in about an hour.
Really?
He had somebody drop it.
When is this? What year is this?
Oh, I don't know. My wife knows all that.
No, I mean, like in the 80s? What are we now?
80s.
Okay.
80, yeah.
So Letterman's killing and he's making good money.
Yeah. Oh, he was making grand theft. He got about 15 homes across this country.
Really?
He got so many homes. I went to St. Bart's. He said, Spoon, go look at my house in St. Bart's. I said, I ain't got nothing to do. I flew down there.
Yeah.
And my God, it's a huge, you have a big house, and then you got these bungalows you go sleep in.
Yeah.
And
he's there, or he just lets
you
use
the place? Just told me to go out there by myself.
Oh,
scared,
nice.
Dark, and hear them sounds at night. What the hell I'm doing out here? But it's beautiful in St. Bart's.
Oh, yeah. That's where all the rich people go.
Yeah, all the rich people. He's got 16 acres in St. Bart's.
Oh, man.
Wow. And St. Bart's ain't 17.
You know what? I forgot about how... with Letterman, where they had that plot, they were going to try and kidnap his kid. Remember that? Get the money?
Yeah, somebody
does he have security around him all the time?
No, you don't.
No?
No, he's not that type.
Man, I'd have machine gun guys with me all the time.
Yeah, but he, you know, that was like an isolated
event. Still. But remember, he had that crazy lady that used to show up at his house,
too. Yeah, she killed herself.
Yeah.
He used to tell me that I went to that house one time. I never saw her.
Right.
But he would leave his... I said, Dave, why don't you lock your doors, man? I'm here. I'm scared. I'm here to lock my door when I come home.
How's he now?
He would lock his door. I'd go over his house and play tennis. He had a tennis court in the back.
Right.
So if I was at Caroline's or something, or going to do his show...
And what is this, in Connecticut, or is this in...
It was Connecticut.
Okay.
He's gone from there.
Yeah.
New Canaan.
Okay.
New Canaan. Beautiful place. Big, huge
place. I bet, yeah.
And he come home. She in the kitchen... And she done changed the furniture around.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And they said he would come in. Like, well, she broke in one time. What was her name? Do you remember her name?
Yeah, I don't know her name.
I'll remember it. She would break in.
Yeah.
And was in his house one day, and he woke up and said, you know, you're going to have to go. The cops are already coming.
Yeah.
I thought I would just...
I would go crazy.
I would go nuts. I'd be hitting her with a bat. Yeah, I'd shoot her in Florida.
Mary Ray.
Yeah, Margaret. Yeah.
He was so... relaxed with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm like you. I'd have got me a chair and threw at her. Get out of here. Put the dog on her.
I wish you, I always felt like I wish I had an older black friend that would be my buddy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, only I want a guy to be like, why are you always going to them strip clubs? You know, just straighten me out a little bit.
Oh,
you'd be great at that.
Yeah.
Although I have a feeling I would corrupt you. Hey, Spoon, let's go to the strip club.
You know, Letterman and I used to play basketball. We played one-on-one whole court.
Whole court. Wow.
In Malibu.
Uh-huh.
He's a jogger.
Yeah.
So he got the best belongs. I drink beer right after the game. Right. This is what I grew up and all that stuff. He's clean cut. Never see him drink anything.
No.
But he can run up and down the court.
Yeah.
I'd be,
oh yeah. That's a long way to go, just one-on-one.
Spoon, we got
to
keep going. Can't stop, Spoon. You go ahead and run. I'll meet you on the way back.
And then he played drums?
He got drum set.
Yep. We sent him a drum set one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because we're big fans. And we always know that we had musician friends that have been on the show, and he always tries to buy their drum sets from
them. Oh, really?
Yeah, because he would always ask me, are those yours? Really? And we grabbed those or whatever. And then a lot of people would, sell him his drums.
And we, D-Drum is like a premier drum maker, and they sponsor Galvin. We play in a band, and they sponsor Galvin. So we had D-Drum send Dave a thank you set of drums one time. And he immediately gave them away.
Oh, really?
And he sent us a letter and said, thank you, Dave has donated your drums to the Bronx School of Music. And we were like, what? We thought he liked drums.
You could have done that yourself.
Yeah, right? We would have got the tax write-off for that. That would have been crazy.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's so funny. I'd love to see you two do some sort of show, some reality show where it's just following you guys around all day.
I think it'd be funny to be with all of us.
Yeah, Jeff Dreesen, Altman.
Jeff Altman. He's always trying to make Dave laugh.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And Dave, but he's funny though.
I heard one of the best funny. Altman stories I heard from Letterman was that they were at the Indianapolis 500, and people wanted to get a picture with Dave.
Right.
And they asked Jeff if he would take the picture. So Jeff goes, all right, get together. He backed up a little bit. And then he stood there for a few seconds and then just took off with their camera.
Jeff was, he was always trying to be funny. I remember we were all at dinner in Santa Monica, tuxedo guys around with tuxedos. Jeff would act like he got a heart attack. He hit the floor like, do you hear something? Bam! and then somebody at the table said, there's a doctor in the house. So everybody would jump up.
Freak out.
Come down, and Jeff get up. I'm all right. He would do. Then one time, we were in some restaurant, and Jeff, the waiter came by. He said, your friend, the one was sitting here, he's in the bathroom with no clothes on. he said, the door is open. And he said, would you send him his hat?
See, that's great to have a bunch of guys forever that you be ridiculous with.
It's so funny that Jeff is that way. He's just,
yeah.
And I would laugh so hard. I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
Hey, what do you think happened to Eddie Murphy? How come he's not funny anymore?
He's funny, but there's no projects, no meat. Roles for him.
Why though? He was so. Why didn't he do stand-up?
I think he was
anymore?
Younger. See, when he was younger, you had the roles. See, but when you get older, it's now you got to have you get more mature.
Yeah,
supposedly more mature and all that stuff.
In their prime, who's funnier, Chris Rock or Eddie Murphy?
Well, I think Eddie's
funnier.
Yeah,
you think so?
Yeah. Oh yeah, Eddie's. You mean acting?
No, funny comedian wise.
Well, Eddie.
Chris Rock's a terrible actor.
But I know it. I know. Yeah. I thought you were talking about acting.
Yeah. No, I mean funnier.
Eddie, as a comic, Eddie didn't do much stand-up.
Eddie had three of the best stand-up specials ever in the
80s. Yeah, but he never did.
But it wasn't a long career,
that was like
though.
Acting.
Yeah. Telling stories and stuff.
Yeah, it was acting. He can do all that.
Did Charlie write all those things, you think?
Charlie was funny too. I worked with Charlie. We were on this TV show, Black Jesus.
Yeah.
And Charlie had me cracking up. We would laugh at each other so hard.
Yeah, Charlie seemed like he'd be a funny guy. That whole
thing. Nice fella, too.
Charlie was nice.
Oh, yeah, he was a nice fella.
But Charlie got into that. Charlie and Tony Rock and all those guys get into that whole thing where now they don't want to talk about being related to Eddie. And Tony Rock doesn't want to. I would better be a pain in the ass. You get Chris Farley's brother in here, and he'll be like, you can talk to me about Chris Farley all day. He knows. He needs
it.
But I guess those guys, after a while, they're just sick of it. They want to be their own guy.
I guess everybody equate them with their brother.
You know what I love? I don't think I dislike any of them. We've had all the Wayans kids on here.
Oh, yeah. They're nice.
From Keenan all the way down to Damon Jr.
Nice
been in the studio.
Yeah.
They are great. And I liked when you did stuff with them. Because the two brothers
I did. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm working January 8th in someplace in Indiana with Marlon.
Oh, with Marlon?
He's at a casino, so I'm on the show with them.
Yeah, people must love to see you with those guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I worked with Marlon in Phoenix about a year ago, last year. And I didn't know Marlon was on the show. He just came and did some time on the show.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful place that we worked, also about 3,000-4,000 people.
Nice.
And but they're just good kids.
Yeah.
All around, clean-cut kids.
Yeah, they were all good. They're all very funny.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it would have been like growing up in the family. Damon told us one time that when he had Damon Jr. and Damon Jr. would go to fall asleep when he was a baby, he used to take his clothes off and dress him up in girl clothes. So when he waked up, he was wearing girl clothes. That's funny.
But I worked with them. I was with 5 years on the Wayans Brothers with Sean and Marlon.
Yeah, they're like those two are great together.
Oh, and they stay together. I mean, they love each other.
Oh, I love when we break them down and we have them in here individually because then we get them to talk crap about each other.
Oh, yeah.
And then we bring it up to the other guy when they're here. It's fun. John Witherspoon is a comedy legend, and he's going to be at the Tampa Improv two days, just tonight, 8 and 10:30, and Saturday, 7:30 and 10:00. And I'm sure people will be screaming out at you all your lines.
Oh, my God. See, that the thing I did on Boomerang was all ad-lib, the whole scene.
You kind of get that feeling. Yeah. And you can kind of see in Eddie Murphy's face when he finds something funny.
Because
he's trying not to laugh, and you know that that's ad-lib stuff.
Oh, yeah, we ad-libbed that whole scene. That's why he was so, he's quick-witted, so he'd come right back with something funny.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's what you hope for when you're working.
Really good.
Well, listen, it's a pleasure to have you in here. I hope people go see you at the Improv this weekend, 864-4000 or improvtampa.com. Go see John Witherspoon. Thank you for getting up early and coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You saw
bang 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 bang.com? .com. No, I don't have anything on there yet. I'm supposed to, but I get tired of sending shirts out. I don't need that money.
Go see John Witherspoon this weekend. We'll take a break. It's a Mike Calta show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.